Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where we wrap up the most insane things of the week with only one qualification. They have to be things we've never seen before, at least in the modern era. And as always, the most insane thing of all is that I can do this every week. Let's dive right in. Insane thing number six. There's been a mainstream lying liberal media drumbeat that the Republicans are just exaggerating. These aren't socialists even, man. They're democratic socialists of America. It's no big deal. It is socialism. It's like, you know, roads and schools and stuff. No big deal. Republicans are exaggerating. They don't really want communism.
I mean, our goal is liberation. Our goal is communism.
Huh. That's the national co-chair of the DSA, Democrat Socialist of America. But nah, I'm sure he didn't really mean that. At least that's what they could claim. Until the other moron who co-chairs the Democrat Socialist of America went on Fox News and laid it out in stunning fashion.
So we're going to put up on the screen a few of the things that are part of your platform. And I want to ask you, just give me sort of a true or false on these. Abolish the Senate.
True.
Okay. Replace the presidency and Supreme Court as we now know them.
Yep.
Abolish ICE.
Absolutely.
Abolish borders and give amnesty to anyone currently in the U.S. illegally.
As a long-term plan, yep.
Defund the Pentagon.
Absolutely.
Abolish prisons, at least in large part.
Yeah, again, that is part of a long-term program, yeah.
Okay, so no prisons. Government or public ownership of most large corporations.
Yeah, absolutely.
If this whole platform seems like it's out of left field, like it came out of nowhere, it's not. It was practically plagiarized from Mao's 1949 Common Program, or his platform. Listen to how eerily familiar this sounds. Number one, class conflict frame, workers versus capitalism, check. Rewrite the founding constitution. Yes, absolutely, that's what they're proposing. Listen to this. Single unicameral national legislature. Yep, that's what they're doing. Getting rid of the Senate, putting the courts under the complete control of the House. That's exactly what Mao promised. One unicameral legislature. Eliminate independent judicial review. Again, this goes along with putting the judiciary or courts under the direct control of the House instead of them being a co-equal branch. Why? Because then the party, which will control the House, controls the outcomes in the courts too. In other words, the outcomes all become political. True and total dual justice, where your value to the party determines the outcome of your criminal and civil case, if you're even allowed by the party to have a criminal and civil case. Confiscatory taxation of property owners. Yep, that's exactly what Ma'am Donnie just announced. Universal rent control. Housing redistribution. Yep, that's what Ma'am Donnie is also doing in New York. He just announced that as well. Enfranchise new voter blocks to shift the electorate. Yep, check. That's the open borders they're promoting, and the Democrats have already done a round of that to bring in new replacement voters. Well, we've demonstrated exhaustively on this podcast that Democrat Party leaders are terrified of these DSA leaders, especially in places like New York. How terrified exactly are they? When Democrat senator and Senate minority leader, he's the number one ranking Democrat in the House, Chuck Schumer was asked, hey, how do you feel about eliminating your job? Yeah, you guys gonna seriously run on eliminating the Senate? Here's what he said.
The Democratic Socialists of America recently released their new platform. One of the things in that platform is to abolish the Senate and create a new unicameral House in Congress. Is this something Democratic Socialist candidates have been winning in races across the country? Is this something that has a place, this type of policy position?
The bottom line is Democrats from one end of the spectrum to the other are going to be working to defeat Trump, to bring down costs, to go after his corruption, and to end the chaos.
Damn! Folks, he didn't deny it. He didn't condemn it. Now, you and I both know he's afraid to. They'll use it against him in a primary, but folks, you are watching the communist takeover of the Democrat Party with almost no objection from the leadership. Folks, we lost 58,000, mostly young Americans, fighting communism in Vietnam so we wouldn't be anywhere near our back porch. We fought the Bay of Pigs for the same reason. And now we're not fighting at all. We're just rolling over. And you can tell they don't know how to answer the questions about the DSA's obviously radical pro-communist agenda. I mean, you just heard Chuck Schumer basically dodge the question of whether it'd be okay if we eliminate the Senate, if we eliminate his position. Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader in the House, or the leader of the Democrats in the House, took another tack. He just flat out lied when asked, hey, these socialist candidates that are taking over your party sure seem to want to eliminate immigration enforcement. What do you think about that, Hakeem?
One of the things that some of those who are winning their primaries and will likely be in office want to know is if you are going to agree to hold votes on abolishing ICE, opening borders, things of that nature. Will you?
Well, I've spoken to several of the incoming members of Congress across the ideological spectrum. Not a single person has raised those issues.
Not a single person? Are you kidding me? It's their party platform. And folks, regular Democrats are running on that. Not even DSA members.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane thing number five, the release of what's being called Anthony Fauci's diary. Folks, what we've known for a long time through gradual science that gradually got around Fauci's directed censorship of social media, we've known that he lied about just about everything. But what we didn't know, and what we got in shocking detail this week, was how deliberate it was. There was never a point of confusion by him about any of his lies. You know, like, you know, hey, fog of war, pandemic, of course he's going to get some stuff wrong. No, he didn't get anything wrong. He made every last bit of it up. The most shocking thing about his diary, and by the way, we were able to get the diary through the dogged efforts of RFK. It was actually written from his federal office on federal computers. RFK, and I suspect Doge, scraped it off of 11 different servers where it had been, in some parts, to some extent, deleted, but not totally. And they were able to reconstruct it. They put a tremendous amount of effort into it, and it was worth every bit of it for the American people to see the way that Fauci and the mainstream media hosed them, tricked them into COVID, tricked them into the permanent destruction, permanent closing of 200,000 businesses, the permanent destruction of a million jobs, and trillions in economic carnage. The most insane thing of all about Fauci's diary is the dates. Let's start with the first one, January 26th. If you'd wandered around a grocery store January 26th asking people what their opinion of COVID was, they'd have been like, huh? Nobody really heard of it. At the time, there really was only vague news that a pandemic was ripping through China. That's it. It wouldn't really hit critical mass with the American people until the middle of March. So January 26th in the diary, he's already writing that it came out of the Wuhan lab. And of course, we know that because we know that Fauci paid for and coordinated the transfer of deadly gain-of-function technology to our worst enemy on Earth. So, of course, he knew where it came from. He gave them the technology to create it. The contract for $6 million with Echo Health Alliance was just the cover for the transfer. Chinese didn't need $6 million to get this done. No, the contract was the cover for Echo Health Alliance to take the actual cell lines, the gain-of-function technology, into China to give it the imprimatur, the cover of a federal program. By the first week of February, he was writing that, yeah, COVID would look bad, but it wouldn't end up being any more deadly than a severe seasonal flu, which we have about twice a decade, 0.2 to 0.3 death rate. Yet in the weeks after that entry in his diary, the first week of February, he was on TV saying this.
It's 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. You got to make sure that people understand that. It is 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. I think that's something that people can get their arms around and understand.
And there was so much more shocking stuff. Like Anthony Fauci spent the month of October 2020 informing families they would not be able to get together for Thanksgiving. Too dangerous. Yet in his diary, he'd record that he was having dinner parties with all the members of the mainstream media. Truly couldn't believe the invites he was getting. And at one point, he recorded he'd had a wonderful dinner with Jake Tapper and his wife. That dinner party happened a week after he told Americans that they wouldn't be able to spend Thanksgiving together. Keep in mind, folks, by this time, people's elderly grandmas and mothers were dying alone as they stood outside the window watching, unable to touch them or say goodbye face to face because of Fauci's dictates, while Fauci attended dinner parties. And the list of mainstream media people he was hanging out with at their homes reads like a who's who of the mainstream media. Odd that not a single one of them thought to mention they were all getting together, including with Fauci, who was then going on their shows. And this was all throughout the month of October and early November, saying that nobody could get together. It was too dangerous. Yet they hid the whole thing from us. And folks, that's who really took a hit here. This was the guy the media said was the hero, the only one we could listen to, the science. And here he is pleading the fifth over 100 times in that hearing like a common criminal, which is exactly what he is. But this time, Fauci's not inside Twitter with the ability to censor people saying true things. The mainstream media can't hide this, although they almost all try to black it out this week, with most mainstream media channels doing less than 2 minutes on the whole Fauci situation, including the diary. And the Washington Post and the New York Times, yes, writing about it, but leaving the main, most controversial parts that I just mentioned here out completely. In other words, whitewashing it. Insane thing number four, the burial of Lindsey Graham. That's insane to me because the entire time I've been watching politics, he's always been a part of it. A political world without Lindsey Graham is weird to me. But I guess we're not going to be allowed to have a political world without Lindsey Graham's staff, advisors, and donor network, which I call the machine. The machine has ruled South Carolina politics since just after Reconstruction. It was a Democrat machine, every bit as powerful and corrupt as Tammany Hall, that has existed into the modern era. Except in the late 1990s and early 2000s, they began switching their political affiliation to Republican, literally dinosaurs like Hugh Leatherman, who died in office, or former Democrats. They lived through the transition. They're all incredibly corrupt, and they're not Republican. During the Bush era, a massive infusion of globalist, crony capitalist, and open borders cash surged through South Carolina. An entire generation of politicians was chosen by the Bush machine. Lindsey Graham, who I call the godfather, inherited that machine, ran it with an iron fist. His chief instrument of terror, since he was at best a mushy moderate, was open primaries, where he was able to subvert the will of the Republican conservative majority of this state by not just allowing Democrats to vote in our Republican primaries, but going to extreme lengths, even meddling at the county level, to get party chairmen who would go along, or wink, wink, nod, nod, go along with keeping those primaries open. so that Democrats could weigh in and always choose the most liberal Republican candidate. That's how Lindsey Graham survived in this state, despite doing stuff like calling his own voters bigots for not wanting to support amnesty for 11 million people, or the time he told what he thought was a closed-door fundraiser of high-heeled donors that being an American really didn't belong just to Americans. It belonged to, well, everyone in the world. He was nuts. I bet his sister, Darlene, is crazier. Unfortunately, they're running her for his seat in a snap election where voting starts in 6 days. And for the last 5 days, she's refused to take any questions from the media. She says she's too grief-stricken. Of course, she wasn't too grief-stricken to do an interview with Sean Hannity that was pre-recorded where only softball questions were asked. But she's grief-stricken now, and odds are people go to the polls with no idea what she stands for. In fact, I think the only thing they'll know about her is Trump endorsed her. In a state where Trump endorsees have one shared tradition, stabbing Trump in the back the second they're elected. Insane thing number three. By now, you've gotten a snootful of sanctuary cities. We've covered so many sanctuary city stories on this podcast and on my show where Democrats think nothing of turning child rapists, regular rapists, murderers, internationally wanted gang members, who are wanted for murder in their own country. I mean, the most vile people on earth, free, rather than honor an ICE detainer. When all they have to do is simply call ICE, and when these guys bond out, ICE will come pick them up, keep everyone safe. Democrats refuse. They believe illegal immigrants not only are citizens, but belong here, no matter what crime they've committed. So we're all used to that with violent criminals. But now, apparently, Democrats intend to extend these protections to illegal immigrants who vote. A crime, by the way, under federal law. It is a crime to vote in a federal election if you're not a citizen. So in last week's podcast, we talked about Trump's big speech. One of the things he said was that there were 278,000 illegal immigrants on the voter rolls illegally registered to vote in federal elections in just 4 states. Well, Democrats mocked him and, of course, said it wasn't true until 6,600 of them turned up on the voter rolls in New Jersey. And it turned out that 400 of them had voted. New Jersey's governor, quite frankly, lied her ass off and claimed, well, that was a software glitch. Had nothing to do with us. Well, the software company came out with the actual data and said, no, there was no glitch here. Every one of these illegals was properly recorded, when they applied for their licenses at the DMV as a non-citizen. They all checked the right box. So we just sent the information on. There was no glitch. And where did it go? To the Democrat-controlled Board of Elections, where they were registered to vote anyway. About 400 of the 6,600 did vote, although Elon Musk and Donald Trump have both said it's more like 35,000 illegals are on their rolls, not 6,600. So you can only imagine how many people actually voted. But that's not the most insane thing. Now, the most insane thing is that naturally, the Department of Justice launched a criminal investigation, right? That's who would prosecute. This is a federal election. Well, Democrat Governor Mickey Sherrill is going full sanctuary state. Folks, this is a beachhead, okay? Remember how shocking it was the first few times Democrats did this in sanctuary cities with murderers, rapists, illegal immigrant, murderous drunk drivers? And it was shocking. But they figure after a while you get used to it. They're refusing to turn over the names of the illegal immigrant voters. The DOJ specifically wants not just their names and their addresses, but also their nationalities, where they're from, so they can cross-reference them with immigration records for their prosecutions, because this is a federal crime, it's a felony. Well, the governor is refusing to turn over the names of the 400 illegal immigrant felony voters. I'm not sure what her plan is. What, just keep letting them vote? Or, hey, you're bad, no big deal, thanks for your vote for the Democrat Party, you can go home now? I mean, what the heck? Listen to how Democrat Governor Mickey Sherrill describes them as citizens of New Jersey. It's like these Democrats are mocking us.
Non-citizens who are registered to vote and the approximately 400 that did vote, to what extent will your administration comply with the Trump administration's request in that regard?
As I have said, I am not in the habit of turning over private identifying administration information of the citizens of New Jersey. This federal government is weaponizing the government against individuals that disagree with them. I am working to protect people and their private data here in New Jersey.
Illegal immigrants who illegally voted are just citizens who disagreed with Trump? Watch this, folks, because we're at Doge's on top of this. We are going to find shocking numbers of illegals have voted in the same 18 states where we know that China illegally hacked the boards of elections to build its own shadow database. Watch this, right? Democrats are going to protect these illegals in every single state. And they're going to act like ICE and Trump and the DOJ are out of their minds because they're not down with illegal immigrant voting. Oh, well, they tell us we don't need ID because illegal immigrants never vote. But why not just turn over the names of the illegal immigrants? Throw them under the bus. I'll tell you why. Because they would find among the 400 some who were confused or didn't care or whatever, crazy. They went and voted legitimately. But you know what else you're going to find? A large number who didn't vote. By that, I mean somebody voted for them, likely with mail-in ballots. In other words, the reason the illegal immigrant voters are of such value to Democrats, at least right now, that they're refusing to turn their voter rolls over to Trump. There's a big court case about it. Trump's trying to get them, is because they know most illegals won't show up at the polls. I mean, why would you do that? You're going to risk being caught, deportation. You just wouldn't do it. It's just tempting fate, right? And if somebody voted for you, what are you going to go complain? Hey, I'm an illegal immigrant. Somebody voted for me. No, you're not going to complain. They're the perfect dummy ghost voters for motivated, I don't know, Chinese fraudsters to vote for. I know that sounds nuts now, but everything that's happened in the last few years would have sounded nuts to us a few years before we found out about it. I'm telling you, that's why she can't turn the names over. She knows that they didn't all vote in their own names. The next question on the Trump administration's part is, of course, going to be, well, who did vote for them? Where was this mailed from? And if there aren't good answers to those questions, yeah, the Democrat Chinese voter fraud scam is going to begin to see the light of day. But folks, you know what this is? Progress. Signs we're finally doing the things it'll take to save the republic from the joint Democrat Chinese Communist Party voter fraud takeover. Again, I can promise you this. This isn't the only state, and the numbers are going to be much, much greater in other states, particularly swing states. Insane thing number two.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Insane thing number two. In the first Battleground America podcast I ever recorded more than 5 years ago, I told you what the thing I feared the most was: amnesty and the near total control of the Democrat Party over the United States of America that would follow. You're watching that in Spain. Oh, they haven't gotten to the voting themselves total power part. Now, that'll come next year in 2027 when the socialists, who are deeply unpopular but who just did an amnesty, when the voting starts by the people they just amnestied, 1.3 million so far and counting. Undocumented migrants who broke in, and now they'll be voting in 2027. That amnesty and a policy by the Socialist Party that's in control there that, well, if you can get there, they're not going to remove you, resulted in the invasion that you saw yesterday when the number now is up to 60,000 people stormed, almost all of them Moroccan military age young male Muslims. There are a few burqas among them. Couple of them brought their babe with them, but for the most part, it was the men. They usually will send for the women later once they're established. But you saw them storm the border after the amnesty. Folks, what were you watching? You're watching the Democrat policies writ large. Amnesty used as a magnet. Defund the police. At first, the socialist president of Spain refused to do anything at all. By the way, do you know where they were when the Moroccans were invading? The leadership of Spain was in Morocco. Well, eventually, the migrants started setting fire to cars, and then that caught an entire neighborhood on fire. It burnt down, and he had to do something. The poor people who live there in Ceuta, it was the area being invaded, had to put up barbed wire. First around their shops and businesses that, you know, they were just smashing their way in their homes at street level. And then eventually they were stealing ladders and smashing their way into second floors like condos and apartments. So they had to put barbed wire up there. Well, those images were a little embarrassing. So the president of Spain, who was an avowed socialist and an open borders guy, did send the military, but refused to let them actively do anything to stop it. So expect that invasion to continue throughout the weekend. And it follows the classic pattern that we saw in America when Democrats were in charge. Remember the Venezuelan leadership emptying their prisons out and openly bragging that they were sending them to Joe Biden's America? Yeah, well, on the 29th, the Muslim head of Morocco, King Mohammed V, yeah, in anticipation of the invasion 2 days later, pardoned 2,000 of the most hardened criminals and set them free. Where are they today? Spain. But the thing you should know about Ceuta and the secondary city that they're invading is how they vote. This is a deeply traditionally conservative city that's rebelled against the socialists. And they tend to vote for what's called the People's Party. That sounds communist, but it's actually a right-wing party. National Conservative and Right-Wing Populist Party is also very popular there, too. They vote center-right to far-right. So, folks, understand this is a punishment, and it's also a replacement of those voters. That's not my opinion. See, I've predicted for a long time, as I did in my first podcast, that up until the amnesty, they'll lie to you. They'll say we need this for economic reasons, humanitarian reasons, blah, blah, blah. Once the amnesty passes and they know they're well on their way to total one-party political power. And folks, all of the great dictatorships of the world, think China, think Russia, they're all one-party systems. Once they've got the amnesty firmly in place, they would admit the truth that this was a replacement strategy to replace conservative voters. That is exactly what happened in Spain. Irene Montero, the leader of Podemos, she's also the equality minister, or was, of the current regime and an MEP in their version of Congress, actually admitted after the amnesty that the purpose of it was, quote, replacement, unquote. Replacement of who? Reemplazo de fachas. What is fachas? It is a negative slang term for right-wingers. Reemplazo de fachas, the replacement of fascists. And she says that is why we did this. Basically, that's why we imported these people. That's why we amnestied them. And they can tell you that once they've won and they're mocking you. And of course, folks, it makes everything that went on this year after the amnesty that was in June make a lot of sense. They quickly got a digital ID censorship program in place. And now it makes sense why. They obviously plan to censor as much of this as they can. Elon Musk wrote in a tweet about all of this, it's basic math. If Spain offers free stuff to migrants that is above 90% of the living standards on Earth, they create a forcing function for 90% of Earth to move to Spain, which is about 7 billion people. He writes Spain's entire budget will be destroyed by illegal migrants. I would argue no, because before this is all over, they're going to end up here in America at the rate we're going. Wait, how? Well, think about the 1.3 million so far that have taken Spain up on amnesty. What does Spain have with America? Well, the same thing most European countries do. Visa reciprocity, which means U.S. citizens can travel to Spain for up to 90 days without a short stay visa. Spanish citizens can travel to the U.S. for up to 90 days without a visa through the U.S. visa waiver program. Folks, we got to begin ending this kind of stuff. They're being invaded by Muslim invaders. You can't have them here for vacation because guess what? We don't have a visa overstay system. They won't go home. And that 1.3 million from Morocco and Muslim countries, they'll be citizens of Spain. next year. As for the invaders that you saw coming over yesterday and probably throughout the weekend, God knows when Spain will amnesty them, but I guarantee you it's coming under the ruling Socialist Party. Insane thing number one. Insane thing number one. Of all of Anthony Fauci's lies that were uncovered this week in his own hand, this to me is the most shocking. I got to set this up properly. With an interview from 2022 with ex-YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki, where she admits to deleting over a million COVID videos on YouTube specifically to silence anti-vaxxers and those who don't have the correct orthodoxy on COVID, as dictated by Anthony Fauci.
And with regard to vaccines, that has been a top priority for us. We have a number of different ways that we address that. So first of all, we want to make sure that if there's information that violates our policies, we came up with 10 different policies around COVID, then if that's a violation of policies, then that's something that we'll remove. We removed over a million videos associated with COVID.
Removed a million videos? Honey, you took down my first two YouTube accounts. I'm on my third right now. I don't expect it to last long. And if you don't know how this works, you get three strikes. So on your third strike, you lose your account. Every one of my six strikes that I lost two YouTube accounts with more than 10,000 followers on, God knows what I'd be to today if I'd been allowed to keep them. Every one of those strikes was for something about COVID, either the vaccine, the origins of COVID that turned out to be correct. Who was advising the ex-YouTube CEO, Susan Wojcicki, on what needed to be taken down again?
Have you talked to the Biden administration at all about vaccine hesitancy or vaccine misinformation?
Well, we did an event actually with the Biden administration, including President Biden himself, yeah, with a number of creators, Fauci as well.
The irony, the shocking part, is that after taking the COVID vaccine, Anthony Fauci himself had one of those side effects, and he hid it from the public before he went on television urging employers on behalf of the Biden administration to fire employees who refused to take the very shot that had given him a pulmonary infarction. What is that? It's not a bruise. It's where part of your lung dies due to a blood clot. Here's RFK describing his shock over finding that Anthony Fauci had one of the 25 side effects that RFK would later discover. There's an algorithm on the VAERS system that it was designed to hide. And Fauci had it. And he told the public that they needed to take the shot. The shot was 95% effective. Well, it ended up turning out it's not effective at all. In fact, it makes you more likely to get COVID and more likely to be hospitalized. Another thing Fauci admitted, by the way, in his diary, despite saying the opposite in public, as he urged the herd to go get those shots.
He got vaccinated at a very, very public press conference in January of 2020. And then he had, and this is the first time that we knew this from the diary, he had a pulmonary infarction, which is one of the adverse events that NIH, CDC, and FDA said are expected from the vaccine. He never told anybody. He got treated for it privately by the best doctors in America. At the same time, he was telling everybody that that was not an adverse event.
Even today, the mainstream media continues to lie and to cover up. Most blacked out or mostly blacked out the Fauci hearings on which he pled the fifth 110 times. Senator Ron Johnson's been holding shot vaccine injury hearings for months now. And this is him confronting Manaju Rahu of CNN about why they won't cover those 25 side effects of the shot.
Senator Johnson, can we get you on the COVID cover-up? So why do you think legacy media such as CNN's not covering this?
Why aren't you covering this?
I want to ask you about Iran, the war in Iran.
Yeah, you really ought to cover the fact that Peter Marks knew on March 1st of 2021, that their algorithms were hiding safety signals. On 26 days later, found out 25 serious adverse events like sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction, Bell's palsy, different types of strokes, and they buried it. They hid it. It's a major scandal. It's even as big a scandal that the major media is completely ignoring the story. It's been out now for almost 6 weeks.
Can I say, but anyway, so I'm sure that was your question. You're trying to ambush me. But no. I ask you about Iran.
Wait, Senator Johnson, tell me about those 25 serious side effects that our government hid.
Serious adverse events like sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction.
Huh. Pulmonary infarction. Exactly what Fauci had. Folks, for the life of me, I can't understand why, if you disagree with the medical science being put forward in a video on YouTube, you just make your own video on YouTube disputing it and have a debate. The only reason you censor something is, you know, you can't win that debate because you're lying. And unfortunately, because CEO Susan Wojcicki censored that debate, 39,000 people died of the COVID vaccine. At least that's what's recorded in the federal government shot adverse event database called VAERS.
But early on in March and April, because I was concerned, I was following VAERS, VAERS was screaming at us. If we were looking at the thousands of deaths early on, 46% of those deaths were occurring on the day of vaccination, in 1 or 2 days. We're up to almost 39,000 deaths. 24% of those deaths occurred on the day of vaccination or within 1 or 2 days. Now, this has been available month by month by month since about March, April of 2021, and the federal officials are still not acknowledging it.
I was worse than that, Ron. No, they were having YouTube censor it so no one could know of it. Tens of thousands are dead as a result. And folks, keep in mind, VAERS is an early warning system. Most adverse effects aren't reported to VAERS. And so when something is, they assume that whatever's reported is just 10% of the actual number. Wait, that'd be almost 400,000 dead people. Yeah, at least. But former YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki decided she knew better than everyone. I say new, past tense. She's the ex-YouTube CEO. Why? Dead at 56 of a fast-moving cancer. She fought for 2 years between 2022 and 2024 when she died. Sounds a lot like the turbo cancer that is now associated with this shot, the one my father successfully fought after he got a COVID shot and a booster back to back. God bless her. Maybe try debate next time? I guess for her, it won't be a next time.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.